Welcome to the Effective Data Scientist podcast. The podcast is designed to help you improve your skills, stay focused, manage successful projects, and have fun at work. Be an effective data scientist now.
Welcome to this episode today, and Paul and myself have a great guest. Hi, Alex. How are you doing?
Hello, Alex and Paolo. Yes, doing very well. A bit hot these days in Budapest, but hanging in there. And most of all, thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm psyched to talk about all the topics you have in mind for today.
Awesome. Very good. And maybe, you know, for all those that don't know you, can you introduce a little bit yourself, your background, your experience, what brought you to where you are now?
Yeah, sure. My path is actually quite sinuous, so I'll go fast and then we can complete if you want to. But actually didn't start at all by doing what I'm doing right now. I studied management and political science in France and in Germany, but was not satisfied with my first job. And quite randomly, while writing a book about the geopolitics of the US, I encountered the statistical models that Nate Silver does for the US elections. That was in 2016. And I was hooked from that day, and the nerd in me was awoken. And so I immediately thought, that's awesome. I need to do that in France. And so to work and build a Bayesian model, well, a statistical model, I didn't know it was Bayesian at the time, for elections, I went again into statistics, learned how to program. I was lucky because I just picked up Python quite randomly, and then Python's popularity the year after just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Which helped me a lot in the job market. And long story short, today I am no longer doing political science. Although I am, of course, from time to time working on electoral forecasting and also just tracking public opinion sentiments and so on, actually doing that with PIMC Labs clients that we have. But now my interest is more generally in the methods themselves and how do we apply Bayesian methods like most efficiently, and basically writing statistical models most days. And also a big part of my job is communication and teaching. So teaching workshop with PIMC Labs, teaching an online course with two of my friends, Thomas Vicky and Ryan Kumar, and also the podcast Learning Bayesian Statistics. So yeah, like all those different activities, which are all related because they're all talking about Bayesian stats. But that's basically where I am right now. And as you can see, like very random and sinuous, but that's how life is sometimes, and that's cool. I learned stuff along the way.
Yeah, I love it. It's really weird where, you know, all of us get this bug in terms of statistics and data science and programming. I started doing pure mathematics, you know, algebra, analytics, all these kind of different things. And only by chance got into statistics course because another student said, there was, you know, friend said, oh, that looks interesting, let's go there. And I said, oh, yeah, I joined you.
I started doing economics. And found, of course, quantitative methods useful, and then completely passionate about statistics. So it's always interesting to hear about the different path. And why you are so passionate about Bayesian modeling?
So when I started, it's mainly because that was the most useful for electoral forecasting, because that's the perfect framework for Bayesian statistics. You don't have a lot of data. The data you have are like not very reliable. They are political polls, and we all know these are like the best we can have, but it's clearly not the ideal data mm-hmm. that we would like. And so you need to add domain knowledge, and so a lot of information is not in the data. You need to add it in the model structure, and also what's very important is estimating uncertainty and looking at different scenarios and estimating the probabilities for all of these scenarios and trying to like quantify your uncertainty as precisely as possible. So that was perfect for Bayesian statistics, and that's how I ended up like learning deeply about that kind of statistics, and then diving into PyMC, because I was learning Python, and PyMC is one of the main package to do Bayesian stats in Python. And yeah, that's basically how it happened. So again, like quite a lot of serendipity. But afterwards, why I found that really interesting, and I still find it extremely interesting, is I would say two things mainly. One, it's complicated. So you keep learning all the time. Like, there is never a point where you can tell people, oh yeah, I'm good, like I'm a Bayesian master and I don't have to learn anything anymore. So it's really cool, because like any project I start, I'm like, okay, I have a vague idea of how I could do that, but I have to work on it and I have to learn, and often I have to learn new methods and new way of modeling. And the second thing I would say is it's fun, because it's like playing with Legos, but for nerds. So you have, as if Legos were not nerdy enough, but it's like you have all these building blocks, and you play with them to get to the most customized version of the model that you want. And and that of course depends always on the use case, so it's not boring, it's never the same thing, and you always learn something. And that's fun, because you get to like learn about all these different Lego blocks and have to be creative, actually. Contrary to what a lot of people think, statistical modeling at that level, when it's very customized, is actually quite a creative endeavor, because most of the time you don't have the answer before you start, so you have to create it. So you have to imagine how you can like assemble all those building blocks together. And yeah, that's I have to say that's very fun. That might not be the idea of fun to a lot of people, but it is one to me. So yeah, intellectually challenging, very versatile. And it's like it keeps, if you want, it keeps humans in the loop, because that's what Bayesian statistics do mainly. It's like it uses the horsepower of computers, but humans always have to be in the loop to have that scientific knowledge in the model and the structure. And so I find that really cool, because it tries to use the best of what humans can do, which is like scientific reasoning, and then using what computers are very good at, which is computing very fast. So like, I'd say that's the answer.
I've never thought about it, that, you know, election data and these polls that happened before elections are kind of the perfect source for it, because, you know, you get these, lots of these polls up to the, you know, the date or the period of the vote. Mm-hmm. And of course, they come from all kind of different areas. They have kind of different sizes, different populations in it. Of course, kind of also the time aspect plays a critical role in it. I would guess, you know, so you closer you get to the specific time point, it's probably much more kind of predictive for the actual result.
Yeah, I mean, again, I was quite lucky to be interested in these topics because it keeps being one of my nerdy sandboxes. Basically, each time there is an election that I'm interested in or that some clients are interested in, I get to work on that and keep learning. The time aspect also was something hard for me at the beginning to include. Like the first model I ever did in 2017, like was so basic and didn't have that time component. And finally in 2022, for the French election, I worked again on that model for the presidential elections. And finally, 5 years after having started, I was able to build the model that I actually wanted to build in 2017. I was quite happy, I have to say, because I was like, oh, okay. Like, because at the time I didn't understand it statistically and I wasn't able to, write it programmatically. So that's again, an illustration of like these perpetual, learning motion, that you get here, where, five years later, I was like finally in a way, in a place where I could add all those components. Definitely the time aspect is super interesting. And if you're lucky, also you get a geographical aspect depending on your polling data. And also if you have census data, then you can use multi-level regression and post-stratification to debias even more your estimates, which is something always super interesting and that we're actually working on for some clients at labs. If you can also get that geographical aspect in the data, that's super cool. And of course, when you talk about time dependency and geographical patterns, then Gaussian processes often appear, which is always cool because they are a very interesting kind of model.
Cool. That's so cool. And it becomes pretty obvious that this is not a follow this recipe kind of work. It's very creative. You basically need to design your model. And every new data set requires different adjustments.
Sure. Yeah. You have foundations. You have common foundations. So that's also the cool thing is that then the foundations can be made in common, and they can be stronger because you learn from different cases, and then everybody enjoys having stronger foundations. But on top of that, you have to customize your house. Like, it's a bit like building houses, right? Like the way you build the foundations, I think, kind of always the same. The principles are the same, but then you customize your house however you want and however you need. Well, it's kind of the idea here, using the most solid foundation as possible and then customizing it however you want and need it.
Yeah. Now, you already mentioned your podcast, and it's always great to have a fellow podcaster on the show. What got you started with a podcast, and is there kind of any key takeaways that you have from the podcast up to now?
Why did I start? Because I started that even before actually working with PyMC Labs. Like PyMC Labs, we started that 2 years ago, and the podcast I started it 3 years ago. So there is a 1 year gap between the two. And the podcast is actually at the very beginning of my learning path. And if you listen to the first episodes from 3 years ago, I actually say it in the very first episode that I'm just starting to learn Bayesian statistics, and I'm using that podcast as both a commitment device and a way to have fun while learning. And basically I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I love to learn through podcasts. And at the time I looked around and was like, oh, that's a shame. There is no podcast about Bayesian stats. And then because maybe I'm crazy, I thought, well, maybe I should start one. I don't know. That could be interesting. And my reasoning was quite selfish. It was like, well, I don't really care if nobody listens to it because like I get to record the episodes. And so that means I get to spend 1 hour with each of the guests. And I was inviting people that I found were doing fascinating work. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if I can get 1 hour one-on-one with them talking about what they are doing and how they would advise me and people to learn Bayesian stats and get to where they want to where they are. Well, I'm down for that. And I don't really care if people listen or not.
And I must say that the quality of the guest is special, I think, in your podcast. I think that you had incredible people, like, for example, Frank Harrell. Mm. I don't know. Many yeah. Other outstanding people in the field. So I think that it's really, really great. And I'm kind of addicted to your podcast. So right now I'm quite lucky because Alexander started the Effective Statistician podcast, was my number one podcast in data science and statistics. And number two is Learning Bayes. It's quite incredible, yeah.
And thank you very much for that feedback. That's always awesome to hear.
Yeah, a lot of different topics. I mean, you mentioned political elections, but it's of course also about healthcare, neuroscience, so marketing. I mean, so many topics and excellent guest. What do you think? What are you planning in terms of podcast episodes? What are the different topics you will explore?
Yeah. So, yeah, as you say, basically the idea of the podcast is like anything Bayesian can be on the podcast if it's good, basically. So that's also the cool thing is that because Bayesian statistics are a method, so they can be applied to a lot of topics. And so I can talk about any topic if it's interesting and done in a Bayesian way. And since I'm a pretty curious person, then I end up talking about different, very different topics from one episode to the next. So yeah, the good thing is that I don't really have a big plan to 6 months where I'm like, oh, I want to talk about that and that and that. It's kind of often not last minute, but in a month or two, I know about what I'm going to do and record. So this month has been more focused about marketing, the new PyMC 4.0 release, and some nerdy pleasures that I have, so mainly around physics and astrophysics these days. Cool. So yeah, the next episode is going to be with Ricardo Vieira. So it's going to be diving into the new PyMC release. I'm also going to have an astrophysicist on the show very soon, so it's gonna be super fun. Things like that. And I mean, of course, I'm always happy to talk about the topics I always love, so electoral forecasting and other, let's say, more classic topics software engineering and Bayesian stats, stuff like that. That's what I'm doing. And for now, the roadmap is quite blurry because I am actually planning right now the next batch of recordings. So that's actually what I'm thinking about right now. So I don't have a clear answer for you yet, Paolo. So I'm afraid you'll have to wait for the feed to update. Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah. I also get a lot of inspiration just from kind of things that I see. There's, I'm curious, oh, that would be interesting. I really would love to learn more about it and then reach out to the people. So you also started an online course, Intuitive Base. Tell us a little bit about it. Who is it for and what will you learn from it?
Yeah, good question. So yeah, that's very recent. We just released that 1 month ago with my friends Ravin Kumar and Thomas Vicky. And so we had the first cohort already. The second cohort is going to open very soon, actually, at the end of July. And yeah, the main idea was that the three of us, like all the whole PyMC developers team, we had to learn Bayesian statistics basically by ourselves. And also we had to like go on the internet and like look for every possible resources and then filter that out and ask people, what do you think about that? And do like, you know, back and forth and trial and error. And so that means in the end, you get to that point where you know what's useful and not, but it takes a lot of time and trial and error and back and forth to understand what's useful to learn now, what's not, what you can put aside when you're a very beginner and so on. And so the idea was like, well, let's try to develop a basically one-stop shop where people are like, okay, I heard about that Bayesian stats stuff. What is that about? And how can I apply that in my work? Like very fast and without too much hassle, like reading through extremely complicated statistical mathematical books, which are awesome. But when you're beginners, it can like just like make you like disgusted. So yeah, that was the idea. Like, how do we pack as much information about Bayesian statistics? If you're a complete beginner about Bayesian statistics, you already are familiar with some Python or R. The core is in Python and PyMC, of course, but I mean, R and Python are not that far. So it's like, if you know a bit of R, it's not hard to pick up Python. So like, you know a bit of Python, you probably know about data science or you're a software engineer and you're curious about that. Like you wanna like shift into more Bayesian data science in your work, that's the course we wanted to create. Like, what do I do? And that's the one-stop course. You just need that, and then you're good. You can start applying that in your work. That was the idea. And the second idea was, we want to do that with a code-first and example-first approach instead of mathematics-first approach, which is also the way Thomas, Ravin, and I learned, because none of us have a mathematical degree. Like, we of course studied mathematics, but it was not like our major or something like that. And the way we learned Bayesian statistics, and me, the way I discovered about the power was, you know, simulating stuff on my computer and understanding about probability distributions and random draws that way. So that's what we wanted to do with the course, to be like, this concept is that basically on your computer, you can recreate it. You can see what that means. And then, yeah, we'll tell you a bit more about the math and what that means, because sometimes you will need it, but probably not if you're a beginner. Like, it will be later down the road. So you don't need all that math at the beginning. And again, not that math is not cool. It's one of the coolest things in the universe, but you get my point.
I kind of can see some mathematicians kind of screaming, oh no, you need to have the theory first. But I can completely see myself enjoying such an approach where you kind of first get some kind of quick successes with your work, and you kind of see, oh, that's interesting that it works. I can tweak a little bit here and tweak a little bit there and then see what happens. And then understand the foundations behind it.
Exactly. Yeah. And actually I had that idea of like, I was reading some Agatha Christie novel, and I mean, the power of Agatha Christie is like, you read the novel, at the end you understand who the murderer is. And then if you reread the novel, you actually noticed that you could have guessed on page 3. Like everything was there. Like it's like incredible. I don't know how she did that. It's like just the masterpiece. Like most of the time you read it and then you see everything, like all the pieces of the puzzle are here, but you just didn't see them at the beginning. And that's what we wanted to do with the course. Like you go through the course and like you see those like histograms, or like, you know, you do that model, etc. You code the PyMC model. And then at the very end, we'll tell you, well, actually what you did is like a linear regression, and that's the form, mathematical form of a linear regression. But that's what you just did. You know, it's not that scary. It's just like, that's exactly what you just did. Like this kind of Agatha Christie approach, if you want to Bayesian stats.
So, and at the end, mathematics is the murder.
Oops, yeah. I didn't think that's for it. Yeah. I mean, it's the murder of bad thinking, you know, so of non-methodical thinking. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, in a way, yeah. Then that's a good murderer.
Yeah, of course, I think that the applications make mathematics and statistics really fun to learn and apply. And so you mentioned PyMC Labs, which is a company. Mm-hmm. And could you please tell us a bit more about the company? What kind of clients do you have? Kind of industries can benefit from your work, for example?
Yeah. So basically, Labs is a Bayesian consultancy. It's a collection of PyMC core developers who work there mostly full time. And basically, clients come to us because they are using PyMC models in production, or they want to get more into Bayesian modeling, and they have an idea of what they want to do, but they don't know how to do it because they don't have the skills in house. And so, yeah, they come to us because they have some difficulty, and then we help them. Like we build custom solutions and models for them that they can then use and deploy in production in their systems, and usually make money out of it because that's what they want, or save money, or yeah, basically that's the idea. And most of the, a lot of clients are in marketing, for instance. So a lot of variations around media mix models, where the idea is, well, we've got all those bunch of ad channels and we pour money into them, but we want to know rightfully if it's efficient. Like, how efficient are our channels in converting the persons who see the ad into new customers, basically. And okay. That's the big part of our job is helping clients do that. So if you're interested in that, we have a whole blog post series on the PyMC Labs website about what we did in that regard for HelloFresh, which is really, really cool model in the end, with hierarchical Gaussian processes and way to take into account the fact that there is a saturation in the ad market, and that some channels have delay effects or stuff like that. Like, for instance, an advertisement is more efficient usually on Facebook than on TV because it takes less time for people to see it on Facebook, for instance, stuff like that. So the model takes all of that into account. So yeah, there is a whole blog post series on the PyMC Labs website by Benjamin Vincent, one of the great guys working at Labs. And we're going to make a video version of these posts for the PyMC Lab YouTube channel. So if you prefer that medium, just hang around a bit and then it will be released. So that's a big part of the clients, marketing basically, and understanding the efficiency of the marketing And then we have a lot of biostatistics. So we've worked a lot and we still work a lot for with clients who are developing medicine, developing vaccines, testing new drugs, etc., where understanding the efficiency of the treatment is extremely important. And also here, causal inference is often in the balance. Mm-hmm. And also the cost of being wrong is extremely high, because, well, you can kill people, so you don't want that. And so you have, like, you can also take that into account, like the with the cost functions in the optimization then afterwards of the Bayesian models. So basically this is another topic, like Bayesian decision making optimization, which is taking the full posterior distribution of the model, then taking all of those scenarios into account for optimizing the decisions you make afterwards, whether for marketing or for drug development. Mm-hmm. Things like that. And then we have these are like the two blockbusters, let's say marketing and biostatistics. And then we have other applications which are a bit more original, let's say, for agriculture, for instance, which is ironic when you know that R.A. Fisher developed most of frequently statistics agricultural data. So, you know, yeah. The revenge of the Bayesians. Actually, we are doing, actually, I think it's happening right now, a live webinar with one of our clients, Indigo. And there will be, so Bill Engels, Thomas Vicky, and a person at Indigo during the webinar. You can watch that afterwards. It will be recorded. Where they will dive into the model that we did for them. And basically it was, how do you understand the efficiency of new crops? Like, mm-hmm. how do you discriminate between different crops? And like, they are like testing new crops all the time, and they want to understand the efficiency of those crops, which is extremely complicated because you have a lot of confounding factors, like the environment, where the plants are, where the crops are, which plot they are in, etc. And so Bill and a lot of other people at labs have worked on that model, which ended up being, again, like involving a lot of Gaussian processes, but here not for time correlation, but for geographical covariation. So awesome application, again, of Gaussian processes. It's really fascinating. I just love that model each time I go in there and look at it. So yeah, if you have a chance to go and watch that webinar, do it, you will get a better idea of that. And then final point to that long answer, as I mentioned already, we also do some, well, let's say electoral political science for clients. So multi-level regression with post-stratification mainly. Working on polling data and census data and try to make sense of all of these through Bayesian model to get uncertainty estimation, to get better estimates than the biased polling results that you have. So to track opinion also through time with the time dependency we already talked about. And then after that, you can also do Bayesian decision-making optimization, where you try to understand which coalitions, for instance, in a parliament would be possible and which would be the scenarios with which probability and things like that. So it's also something we work on from time to time. And of course, I always love working on that, as you can guess.
Cool. That is so cool. As I'm, you know, working for over 20 years now in the healthcare space, I'm really interested in, you know, the applications there. So is that basically pretty much across the value chain from preclinical development up to kind of things in marketing and things like this? Or is it really, do you really focus on the biostatistics stuff there?
So you mean for the biostatistics clients?
Yeah.
It's mainly, you know, not marketing, it's really drug development. Yeah. And understanding the efficiency of a new treatment. Yeah. And that can be a variety of different treatments, but mainly it's in the research and development process, And there will actually be a research paper co-authored by Luciano Pass, one of the guys working at Labs with us, really brilliant guy. I had him on the podcast very recently, I think episode 63. He's co-authoring a paper with one of our clients, so Roche, which dive a bit more into the methods they used. I think the paper, of course, not out yet, but will be at some point.
Cool. We'll put references to all these kind of things into our show notes, so that you as a listener can easily find that.
Sure.
Okay. And I have one question about the pros and cons of using PyMC in Bayesian application. And what are the advantages of using PyMC instead of other software like Stan, for example, or JAGS? It's only a matter of using Python, or there are other advantages?
Yeah, so I think I'll start by saying that that's a good problem to have. like a few years ago, you didn't have enough Bayesian package to work on Bayesian, on your Bayesian models, and now you have a whole array of packages, of high quality packages that you can choose from, and that's just amazing. I just love that. First and second, it's indeed important to think about what would be the best package for you in a way. But I think honestly, there is no really wrong choice. Stan is amazing, and we actually often update also the algorithms in PyMC when the Stan team does. So it's basically, Stan is never a wrong choice. And I would say PyMC is never a wrong choice either. So it's mainly based, I think, on your personal preferences. Clearly the fact that PyMC is native Python helps you a lot, because, well, if you know Python already, it's just like installing a new package and then learning the syntax and then you're good. That's a huge advantage, and also there is this whole ecosystem around PyMC now. So PyMC is the flagship, but you also have Bambi, which is the BRMS of Python, if you want. So a wrapper around PyMC that helps you work on generalized linear models with the the PATSY formula syntax. It's actually a course, an online course I'm working on with Tommy Carpeto, one of the core developers of Bambi. So yeah, that's a course we're working on for the Intuitive Base series. So you have that, and you also have then the backends, which are SRA and Apple, which are extremely powerful, and I think that's one of the really great advantages of PyMC here, because then you can use symbolic computation and symbolic transformation of your models. And I'm gonna go very fast here, but if you want more details about that, actually the next episode of Learn Bayes Stats, so 65, is going to be with Ricardo Vieira. And we're going to dive into all of that and what this enables you to do. But basically, you're going to be able to do symbolic computations. And so first, the shape issues that you had in PyMC 3 are basically gone from PyMC 4.0, because now you have that symbolic computational graph behind the scenes. More and more is Apple is developed, so AEPPL is developed by also Ricardo and other people, Brendan Willard in particular, who had this whole vision about symbolic computation, and who was in learning basis and statistics. So you can refer to that episode also if you want to have the big, like very, let's say, mathematical vision around that. And so that will allow you to do automatic reparametrization of models, for instance. So if you're using a model with the centered parametrization, well, you could also ask PyMC to, under the hood, try to use the non-centered parameterization and then just choose which one works best, and the user would not have to change anything in his model code, which would be absolutely amazing. So that's almost ready. We just need someone to work on the pull request to push it towards the finish line. So if someone want to work on that, please get in touch, because that's going to be very high impact. But basically the infrastructure is here. We just need to add the feature. But that's a very powerful thing. And last thing I'd mention is, you talked about JAX. Well, the good thing is that PyMC 4.0 was built to work with Isara, which is, let's say, agnostic on that end. And that way you can use different samplers. So, you can use the NumPyro sampler. You can use some JAX features when you're sampling and in your models. And you can also use, I think that it's Remilouf working on developing the NUTS algorithm completely symbolically in Isara. So you can also use that that sampler. It's not yet in the package, but I think it's gonna come at some point. So yeah, you have basically those building blocks, because it's abstracted away. And so that way you can plug some other samplers and use some JAX features, which I think allows you to have kind of the best of both worlds here, because you can keep your PyMC syntax and models, but under the hood use something that could be more efficient in a special use case. So it's a very general answer again, but yeah, like if you want more details about that, NBS 65, Ricardo is going to talk about that much better than me in much more details.
And is the community growing around PyMC? Do you have more contributors, or it's a small group doing all the work?
Mm-hmm. Well, honestly, for that, I don't really have data. That's something I should ask Ricardo. but for sure, the help on PyMC 4.0 was great from the community. Of course, the biggest pull requests come from the core developers. And well, actually, it's kind of better that way, because we know the quality of the code is going to be good, and those big pull requests need to be very, very high quality anyways, because then it's code that goes into production in a lot of companies and things like that. So it needs to be very thorough. But we got a lot of help, yeah, outside help from people starting and having their first contributions for the new version. And like Oriol Abril and other people in the core dev team have started this PyMC sprint open to anyone on Meetup. And I was actually in one of them the other weekend, where it's a bunch of people from all over the world getting into the Discord from, I think it's that PyData Umbrella or something like that, the name of the organization. I'm so bad with names, so I'm so sorry about that. But yeah, we all go into the Discord, and basically volunteers come here, and they are paired together to work on the issue of their choice. And some PyMC developers are there in another room, so that when people have troubles or issues, we can help them out. And that was that appeared with the development of 4.0, and that's really cool, because that really helps people enter the community and stay there, because well, they are well welcomed, and they see that it's like the barrier to entry is lower. So that definitely
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Cool. Thanks so much for this awesome discussion. I think we covered a lot of ground, starting from your podcast that has now, as you said, quite a lot of episodes for people to get into over your course, Intuitive Space, the company, PyMC, and finishing up with the, you know, pros and cons of different programming approaches.
Yeah, well done, guys. I'm impressed by your hosting skills. Like, I need you need to give me some of your tips. Like, we covered a lot of topics.
Well, after 150 episodes with the Effective Decision, I'm I have a little bit of training in that. So, yeah, thanks so much. Is there one last thing that you would like the listener to take away with if he wants to kind of learn about Bayesian statistics?
So you mean for people who want to start learning about Bayesian statistics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as I always say, just do it. At one point, reading books is important, but at one point you also need to just go there and code it. And for me, that was, I think, one of the main best decisions I made to learn Bayesian statistics when I was reading Statistical Rethinking by Richard McAuliffe. I contributed to port the code from R to PyMC of the chapters, and that helped me tremendously because at the beginning it was extremely bad because I was learning PyMC and also I didn't know how to do open source contributions. So at the time I was very lucky because Ravin Kumar and Osvaldo Martin, who were already more seasoned PyMC developers, helped me and welcomed me into the community. Junpeng Lao also really, really helped me. And I made a lot of mistakes on those notebooks and they helped me understand how to fix them, how to take up good practices for coding together and developing in a team. And yeah, that just jump-started my learning by 10x, I think. It's just like, because I was doing it and not only reading the book, but also like contributing. And the other thing I did was just also show up in the community. So at some point, like my morning routine was going on the PyMC discourse and reading the answers to the questions that I found interesting. And often Junpeng Lao was answering incredible stuff. Most of the time I didn't understand. Sometimes I understood. And with time, I was understanding more and more of the answers. And also I was giving some of the answers with time. So that's also something that helped me tremendously because it was very active. I had to like understand what was written and also I had to understand what I was writing. So super important. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. I love these kind of tips. Start doing it instead of just reading about it and get into the community. Awesome tip.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
The community is really awesome. So like for me, it helped. And also that's why we have this community in the Intuitive Bayesian, course, because we wanted to recreate that thing, that microcosm with Thomas and Ravin, because it's actually something that will really help you instead of learning on your own, learning with other people who are kind of at the same place or a bit more advanced than you will help you tremendously. Yeah.
Yeah. And it helps you to keep moving, have fun at the same time. And that makes so much a difference.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, guys. That was really awesome. So really enjoyed the conversation. So thanks a lot for inviting me.